Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Please be seated. We are reminded today of where that opening prayer for a sermon now comes from. It comes from the beautiful Psalm 19. Last Sunday, we reflected on righteousness through faith and not just the law. And today, we refer to the law again in its most pure and truest form, the Ten Commandments straight from God, spoken to the Israelites. All those shall nots. The Israelites have made it to Mount Sinai, and there they will camp for many days while Moses talks to God, receiving instruction and the law. God begins by reminding the people that he is the God that liberated them from slavery out of Egypt, and gives them their first commandment. You shall have no other God but me. God did his part to liberate his people, and now he is telling them what their part will be: to be righteous people. God gives the people the law. God's commandments can be fearful and intimidating in this form, for intertwined with the commandments closely is associated judgment, and not just the way we prejudge, but God's final judgment of us. We know that we are not perfect, and we know we will fall short, and we will fail. And there is fear of what our consequences will be. And then we hear Psalm 19. The law revives the soul. The commandments give light to the eyes. They give wisdom to the innocent. The psalmist is saying, rejoice in the law. Desire judgment. For in judgment is the great reward for those who keep the commandments. The reward is great for those who do our best to do our part in our relationship with God. This can be confusing. Rejoice in the shall nots? When confused, look to Christ. When confused people who were listening and following Jesus and his teachings in his ministry would come up to him and they would ask, well, what do I need for this great reward? What do I have to do to receive eternal life? Jesus answered, obey the commandments. And when still confused, because we know the commandments and we know we're going to fall short, so help us out further. Which commandment is the greatest? Which one is the most important that we should be working the hardest on? And Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. This is the first and great commandment. The one that God delivers first to His people. You shall have no other God but Me. The first and most important commandment. But again, in that form, there is fear and confusion and judgment. But do you see what Jesus does with it? Where we attach fear and confusion, Jesus attaches love. Love God. Don't fear God. Oh, and there's a second part. The second part of the commandment is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus reveals the love that is in the commandments. He finishes with, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here we find the rejoicing in the psalm. We hear it in our hearts. Here is the revival of our souls. Here is the light to our eyes. Jesus is telling us not to fear God so much as love God. This is our part of the relationship, the covenant with God. This is our part in the new covenant through the love of Christ. To love God and to love one another. And in so doing, we remain connected closely to God through that love expressed ultimately by Jesus. We are reconciled with God through the love of Christ. And when we fall short, and when we let fear overcome us, but as the psalmist says in verses 12 through 13, we should ask God to cleanse us of our faults and to keep us from sins. What we do here this morning, every Sunday morning, and on special services is very important to us and to our righteousness through faith. We confess our sins. We open up about falling short. And we ask for forgiveness through that love. It is through God's love and mercy that we are forgiven. When we profess that we are believers of Jesus Christ and we do our best to follow and obey the commandments and we get comfortable with that, Jesus calls us to do more. Just as He does in Mark chapter 10 when confronted by a young rich man who asked Him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life and receive that great reward?" This is how Jesus responds. And I'm going to read it right out of verse 21. Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said, "Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." The great reward. Jesus is calling us to do more as believers, as followers, to be righteous through our faith. That what Jesus is telling us, we believe, is true. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor. Loosen what you think is important here on earth and follow Christ, at least during Lent. In this season of inward reflection, of outward love, of self-sacrifice, in this we still rejoice. In this we still have renewal of soul. And in this love that God has for us, we are truly thankful. Amen.